Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peeping the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Jace, what up, family? We back in the building. This is Cosmic Kev, a.k.a. Brother Kev, your brother.
And this is Rigel. How everybody doing?
Hey, Hotep or Barigani, Assalamu Alaikum. This is Brother Montoya, a.k.a. Mufasa Blunt.
And we are Collective Minds Radio. We are back, family. We are the podcast that say we ain't all got to think alike, but we all have to think. So thanks for joining us, everybody. We here. We in the building. It is April 2021. So we moving right along this year. We creeping up on the halfway point, which would be, you know, June. But we here, family. Hope everybody had a good week. And before we get started, Queen Rigel and my brother Mufasa, how was y'all week? And do y'all have any announcements for us?
I had a great week. No major announcements, though. But I did have a great week. Just want to give a shout-out to the Versus last Sunday, to the Isaac brothers in full swing. Earth, Wind, and Fire did good as well, too, you know. But I am partial to the Isley brothers, so I give it to them for the win.
Yeah, that was a celebration, man. I didn't even want to, you know, compare the two. They both did their thing. But, Brother Mufasa, wow, how was your week, my brother? And do you have any announcements for us?
Hey, good week also. I don't have any announcements this week. I'll double down on Rigel and say, I enjoyed that versus also. I wish that they would take, there was a part on our Ray and Isley song, I think the song is Sensuality. Man, y'all go back and just find that one part, because that man made a video on that song. The way they did the verses with the camera angles and everything, they could make a video out of that segment right there. It was good. But, I like the setup. Everybody did good, so I enjoyed it as well.
Yes, indeed. All right. Without further ado, y'all, this is Collective Minds Radio. Hit us up. The number is 929-477-1697. Yeah, we have an open discussion. We just go discuss the things that's been going on this week. And, you know, no bigger news than the death of DMX. The rapper DMX passed away. The official death date is April 9th. You feel me? He was 50 years old. You know, they had been saying he was on life support for a minute. But it was like they was doing some brain tests and whatnot, and he was unresponsible. So I guess, you know, the family agreed to pull the plug or whatnot. And they saying it was induced from a heart attack. So, you know, just DMX, just as a hip-hop fan, DMX was one of them dudes. I was a fan. You know, he dropped two platinum albums, I think, within a 12-year period. A 12-month period. You know, within a calendar year or whatnot, he dropped his Dark and Hell is Hot and then he dropped And Then There Was X. Both multi-platinum projects, both had hits on it. You know, the brother was an amazing artist. He was a poet. You know, he had that grimy, you know, he wasn't worried about looking good or getting dressed up or none of that. He was just a dog, you know what I'm saying? And he brought that real alpha male energy to the game, you know what I'm saying? And so rest in power to that brother. You know, if you ain't never got to see a DMX live show, this man was one of the best solo performers I'd have never seen. I would say rap, but I'm saying any genre. This dude was on a mic by himself, on stage by himself, just killing it, high energy. You know what I'm saying? If you ever got to see him live, then you know what I'm talking about. Because you party doing that, you know, you laugh doing his set. And at the end, he made you cry because he said a prayer and was going into his soul. So he really just opened up. And as a fan and as an appreciation of art like that, I respect artists that really, you know, put themselves online and open up to their fans and, you know, really try to put, you know, their truth into music form, you know, so we can all enjoy it. So I just want to put that out there.
Thanks.
You know, rest in power to our brother DMX. And,
rest in peace.
Yeah,
doing great.
Another one.
Yeah, a legend. Straight. Yeah, no doubt he's a straight legend. And people forget he acted in a lot of good movies. The dude was a good actor, too. I don't, you know, a lot of people not mention that, but he was in Belly, of course, which is a classic, a cult classic. He was in Romeo Must Die with Aaliyah. He was in Exit Wounds. He was in Cradle to the Grave. Another movie, Last Hour. He did a movie about where he depicted one of the main characters in Ronald Goins book and whatnot. So, you know, the boy, he was on his grizzly. He was doing his thing. And like I say, yeah, we lost the legend. You dig what I'm saying? So I don't know if y'all want to comment or want to go in. I don't know if y'all was fans or did y'all, you know, peep his music or whatnot, but I'm going to let y'all have the floor.
I just say rest in peace to him. I knew that he was a pretty creative artist. Now, as far as his rapping music goes, it wasn't quite my style. Although he did make some songs that I did like, but I knew he was pretty good at his craft, though, considering how long he was doing it and things like that. I knew he had some other struggles, that he was pretty, pretty creative and clever with his craft. It just wasn't my taste. But, it's all good. Rest in peace, you know, to DMX.
Yes, indeed. I want to put this out there, too, because there was a rumor.
You probably getting ready to touch base on it. Go ahead.
It was a rumor floating around. Yeah, it was a rumor floating around on the Internet, and I think this came from Media Takeout, where they were saying a family member was saying that DMX had got the COVID shot, and that's what induced the heart attack, and it wasn't drugs, and the media was lying. But I think that is a rumor for now, you know what I'm saying? And just out of respect for the family and respect for, you know, good journalism, that has not been confirmed yet, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know if people might come across that online. You know, I would check the source, but that has not been confirmed from what I've seen by the family, you know what I'm saying, as far as him dying from the vaccine. So that's still up in the air, I guess, more to come. But I would just look out for that because I've seen it on a few sites, and I know Media Takeout is not very reputable, in my opinion. So, yeah, I just wanted to put that out there for the family. I don't know, Brother Mufasa Ra, how do you feel? Are you a fan, or you know what? What you think about the
it
brother Dark Man?
Yeah, no, I wasn't a big fan. I definitely had a lot of respect for DMX. I did get a chance to meet him once when he came here to St. Louis and that under the and they did the Hard Knock Life tour.
And, oh, okay, that's what's up.
Yeah, it was. And he was a cool brother. Like I said, I respect him for the you know his messages that he was putting out. And it's unfortunate that if y'all could go back and look at one of the videos he did called "I'm Slipping." In that video, that's one mm-hmm. that is one of my favorite songs by him. But that it's like mm-hmm. the video kind of portrayed his whole life and so his death. You know how he went, how he went out. You know,
right.
You know he touched. DMX touched a lot of people. They say you know if he loves you, you know he had your back to the end. He was just that type of person.
Right.
So yeah, definitely more R&P to DMX.
Yes, indeed.
He, man, it's one thing that had kind of been on my mind about what he went through though in his life,
mm-hmm.
And I think this affected him, you know, growing up, the way how his mother, the story is his mother took him to a group home as when he was a kid. I forget his age.
Right.
But she
right.
dropped him off there, just left him, you know.
Mhm.
And that's traumatic. I mean, I can remember being little, and one time being at the store, my mother and got separated, and I can still remember that feeling to this day of feeling like
right,
I'm lost. And so, for his mother to do that to him, man, I know that messed his head up, and you know his the brother just had a hard upbringing like a lot of people have had. Unfortunately, people of color have had to go through this type of thing of being in group homes and then you're out on the streets and you're robbing
right.
and stealing, you're trying to make it to survive. And I won't even say people of color, I'm just going to say people in poverty. They have to suffer like that and go through things like that. You know, it's heartbreaking. And so, man, you know, dealing with, I've said this before on some shows, but when you're dealing with the youth, you know, you don't know what that particular child could be going through or what that child is destined to be. And so, you know, I try to say just respect people, respect all people, respect children, and help them out if you think that they're going through some things. You know, ask them some questions about what's going on at home. You know, you don't know what a child could be going through. I took note that I got a family member that works at a daycare, and they had just brought it to me that one of the kids who come to the daycare every day, that they noticed that the child wears the same pants every day. So, you know, we gathered up some clothes to try to help out with the situation. And, you know, it's just sad,
indeed.
Man, that we got children out here that have to go through things. And DMX was one of those children. So the child is in, because
right.
I get the rambling.
Right, right. So, no, it's a fact. Yeah, that's a fact. And it's interesting that you brought up his upbringing, because the brother did have, like you say, a hard life. You know, no parents there. And actually, the way he got hooked on that narcotic, you know, from what he said is, you know, he was smoking some weed with somebody he thought was a good friend, and they ended up slipping him some. You know what I'm saying? They
laced
that
friend
weed.
Was older.
Yeah,
and that was
older.
He said he was like a mentor to him.
Yeah, like a mentor. Yeah, OG type to him and whatnot. And slipped the brother some, and you know, got him hooked on that narcotic. But the brother was able to turn his pain into, you know, support, you know, I guess a better way of living, you know, I guess money wasn't too much of an issue, even though he was still battling demons as we see, you know, through his life and through his music.
I think he said that he was a simple person. So most of his money that he made, he always gave his money away. Because he said, you know, he always wanted to help people and give back. And you know, peers spoke out for him and then said, yeah, that's all he always was giving, was a giving person. So that's why you wouldn't see him with a, you know, mobs of jewelry on, you know, rolling around flashy cars. But he made enough to survive and, you know, live, like he said, live comfortable. And then he always was giving back to people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, it speaks volumes to the type of person he was. Even though, in his past, he did what he had to do to survive. But he was a good brother. So, man, it's sad. I hated to hear that happen to him.
Yep. So, RIP to X, man. DMX. I guess so.
Let me add this real quick, too, because this kind of this tied into something we was talking about last week. You know, I've heard people say the same thing about DMX that they said about
George Floyd.
Man, what's up, man? George Floyd, there you go. That was, you know, because he was on drugs, so what? You know, he got what's coming to him. You know,
right. Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, we don't know why people get addicted to these things. You know, we got to be careful with that, with how we you know, pick on people like that or just talk about people who own drugs. I mean, some people get hooked on stuff for recreation. Yeah, it's true. But some people be battling stuff inside, deep depressions, all types of things, you know. And that's just an escape. That's an escape, you know what I'm saying? And so I just think we have to be careful with that. They're just saying, hey, you know, the person was on this, so they didn't deserve, they don't deserve life. It's not really fair. Everybody deserves life. Now, if you're out here raping and killing people, that's different. So somebody that's on drugs, you don't know why they're on drugs. They could be trying to escape demons from being molested or anything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like we're here with George Floyd, you know, apparently he got started because of pain, back pain. And his girlfriend was, dealing with pain. And I've known people who got addicted to pain medication because they might have had an accident or something like that. And then they're taking stuff to relieve itself of this pain, and it just becomes addicting. So these drugs they take, you can get stuff over the counter in pharmacies. They can, from a doctor's prescription, it's just a drug at the end of the day. He the dope man giving you drugs too. You can get addicted to this stuff. So what's the difference of a drug that they're giving you prescription wise to a drug you might be taking on the street?
Right.
Well, basically, I just want to say we got to be careful how we criticize these people who do take these drugs. We don't know what they could be going through, you know.
Right.
In addition to being careful, too, while you criticizing somebody else's shortcomings, you better be thankful that it's not you and focus on what you do have shortcomings on, too, you know, because we'd be so quick to, like you say, point out somebody else and don't pay attention to, you know, to our own issues and problems. You know, we shouldn't even have time to be tripping off somebody else unless we're going to, you know, lend a helping hand, to be quite honest. So, like, in addition to what Mufasa's saying, too, another good reminder is to appreciate what you have. If you don't have those struggles, then just be thankful that you don't have those same struggles.
Right. And it's not just drugs, too. People addicted to all type of stuff out here. Food, sex, porn, you know what I'm saying? All type of stuff. Alcohol. We have all type of addictions out here. So, like the brother said, you definitely want to be careful, you know, when you're criticizing folks because, you know, there's a lot of us out here with our own vices and things that we're dealing with. You know, so just keep that in mind. But yeah, you know, RIP to that brother, man. We could go on and on about X. But just real quick, as X was making the transition, I think he snatched up this so-called fake Prince Philip, who passed away. And now what's interesting with this thing is, you know, that's it. That is Harry's grandfather, quote unquote. And so Harry is married to Meghan. So they just reported that he went to the funeral, and of course, he had to leave her where she was because she couldn't go because of what's been going on with the family. And I found that interesting because I think the timing is just so perfect because he had to go back home, and you know they go pull him in a room like, Harry, what are you doing, Harry? And they go kind of give him that work. But I just thought that was interesting that he went to the funeral and didn't take his wife. You know, because, you know, they called him out and did the big interview with Oprah and whatnot. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. We'll see how that play out, too. But I digress. But, yeah, and then I do want to play this clip before we get to the call line. I'm going to play this clip from – now, this is a guy named Hubert Davis, right? This guy, Hubert Davis, he got the head coaching job at the University of North Carolina after Dean Smith. And I think he's like the first black coach in any sport, I think, in North Carolina, something crazy. And he was having a press conference, and it was pretty funny. Like, he was going in, and he started saying something about he was proud that his wife was white. And everybody like, what? So we're going to play the clip, and then we're going to discuss this because this was too funny to me. This was too funny. But
I'm African-American, and I'm the head coach here. It's significant. I know that in terms of Division I head coaches all around the country, only 26% of the head coaches for Division I men's basketball are compromised by minorities, specifically African Americans. I know that it is significant that I'm the fourth African American head coach in any sport in the history of the University of North Carolina. I'm very proud to be African American, but I'm also very proud that my wife is white, and I'm very proud that my three beautiful, unbelievable kids are a combination of both of us.
Oh, my goodness. Everybody like, what does that have to do with anything? So that just shows the mental illness of some of our people, you know, because he didn't have to interject that. Like, that was just basically saying, in my opinion, I took that as like saying, I'm a good Negro. I'm proud to be black, but I ain't that proud. I'm proud my wife white, so. You know, I'm not that proud, but it was just funny, and the brother showed his colors, and it's like, come on, bro. You doing too much, and
so
you're trying to show off for these folks.
His wife is white. Is that why he contribute that to his success? Or, like, what was the point of that? Like, is he saying he's proud that his wife is white, and that's why he is where he's at?
Right.
Like, is he... that a code for
because
telling black men to go get
it. Right. He look at it, from what I'm hearing, he look at it like a white wife is some type of trophy, and he's proud that he got one. You know, he proud that he was a black man and he was able to get a white woman. Like, come on, how goofy is that? Like,
Ebony and Ivory live together in perfect.
Yeah, that's a bad look. That was a bad look.
Sad bad.
I wanted to play that. I got a good laugh out of that. Yeah, I got a good laugh out of that. I say this brother is lost. He's in a sunken place for real. You know what I'm saying? He's in a sunken place. And I don't think there's no returning. You ain't no coming back from that.
Can we all just get along?
Can we?
He's proud of his wife.
Right, but for what? Because she white? You proud because she white? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm saying, really?
Yeah, he's
okay,
proud.
Brother.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah.
Oh, wow. All right, bro.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. And, you know, I was like, what's the purpose? Like, what? I'm not trying to come off as harsh, but still, I'm like, what you so proud for?
He's very proud of him.
Very.
Have y'all been following Webby and his white neighbor? Y'all know the rapper Webby?
No, I haven't.
Rapper Webby, yep.
Oh, man. If y'all don't know, Webby live in this country club, right? in a gated community. And I think they got like a country club there and he's golfing there. Like, he live in a nice gated community. And, you know, y'all know Webby is a savage. Like, that's all his albums,
right,
Savage
right.
Life. Same, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. If you follow him on Instagram, well, over the past couple of weeks, him and his white neighbor have been getting real comfortable with each other. And she a lady. Like, she a female. Like, she invited him to a house party that they was having. Like, she insisted. Webby showed up. They was drinking and kicking. I think Webby's going to end up tapping it, to be honest with you. But it's interesting to see the dynamics of you got this savage goon, and this is what he called himself. I ain't putting it on him. But
right.
Him intermingling with these other white people. And the one thing that now, this, I don't know, when you said sunken place, that's what made this story jump to me and back in my head, because he had her shout on her Instagram page, right? He's like, tell everybody your Instagram so they can check you out. So she threw it out there, and I went and looked. And as I'm scrolling through her Instagram, one of the pictures, recent pictures, is her talking about some, y'all seen the movie Get Out? And she had all these different emojis behind it. And it was really just an odd post she put out there. Like, she ain't say nothing else. Just like, y'all seen the movie Get Out with all these emojis behind it. And I'm like, oh, shit. She could be trying to set Webby up for the, you know, for the knockout, the knockout blow.
What were the emojis? What were they?
I'm about to dig it back up to find out. But it didn't make any sense. I'm like, what is this? This is like some type of code she got back here. And why are you bringing it up all of a sudden? The movie Get Out. And you kicking it with Webby all of a sudden. Like, hey, that boy better be careful. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, indeed. You have to tread lightly, you know, when you're dealing with a little cream in your coffee. Just put it like that. You got to be careful. Yeah, I'm saying, that's all I can say. But yeah, as far as that clip, that was hilarious. And the brother's in a sunken place. You know what I'm saying? So we can't expect nobody like that to be down for the people. You know what I'm saying? He's going to do what white mommy and daddy tell him to do. You know what I'm saying? Because that's obviously where his allegiance lies. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. Everybody ain't going to break it.
Oh, you guys think that if a person is interracial, this for both of you guys. And any listeners, too, who feel free to answer this question. So do you think that a person that's in an interracial relationship can't be down for – the black person can't be down for the black community? Anybody?
I think – yeah. I mean, I would say you're kind of compromised to a certain degree. If you're in an interracial relationship, because, you know, that's your partner. So your allegiance is like, it's almost like a conflict of interest to a degree. You know what I'm saying? It could be a conflict of interest. It could be. For real, because you're trying to. So I don't know. I mean, that's a question that has been, you know, brought up a lot. And if you hear Dr. Umar take on it, he has some funny memes out there and clips of him going in about this. But I think you can still be down, but I do feel like there is a level of being compromised. But I feel like you can still do good work and do good work for the people. Because Frederick Douglass, I think, in his later years, he married a white woman or whatnot. And, you know, there's a few other people that married outside of their race and did some good work. But I think it's very difficult, and, you know, I'll just leave it at that.
Can you be pro-black and anti-white? And not be anti-white. Can you be pro-black and not anti-white? I guess that's the bigger question, because that's how I look at people who are like that. Like, okay, yeah, if you're a black person and you're in an interracial relationship, you ain't saying that you hate black people. You just ain't anti-white. So you like both. But you just can't be a hardcore blackity-black soldier and be dating a white person.
Gotcha.
That don't make
right,
sense.
Right.
Like Cornel West. Wasn't that Cornel West? That ain't he married a white
yeah,
woman?
Cornel. I think
yeah.
so. Yeah, I think so.
Well, it's like to me.
But yeah,
he. That's where it plays a part to me. If you're going to be a pro-black rider, yeah, no, you can't be dating outside your race. And you gotta be all the way down for the set. You know, but if you just, you know, you can be pro-black, just not be anti-white.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think you could definitely be pro-black and not be anti-white, because I don't think, you know, pro-black mean anti-white. You know what I'm saying? But my thing is the cornerstone. And one of the best ways to fight white supremacy is with the black family, black children. You know what I'm saying? People you're going to procreate with. So that's why I say it's like a conflict if you're going to, you know, marry and procreate and try to be, you know, pro-black. Because one of the ways to, in my opinion, to fight white supremacy is to build a strong black family. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's just, you know, it's just Brother Kev opinion
right,
on that.
Give us your take, why did you break it down?
Well, one more thing, y'all. yeah, I don't know. Maybe she said, hold on. But I want to throw this out there, too, and I don't know if y'all heard about this. Somebody actually just mentioned this, shout out to one of the callers, talking about the Black Lives Matter co-founder and her buying all these multi-million-dollar homes. Well, she bought like four high-end homes for a total of $3.2 million. And now they're asking for like a probe into Black Lives Matter. They said they raised like $90 million last year, you know, double-digit millions the year before. And this founder of Black Lives Matter, Patrice Khan Coolers or whatever, luxury homes supposedly with the money donated to Black Lives Matter. So that's interesting. You know, Black Lives Matter has been exposed as an organization as far as the donation and how they're not doing really anything for these victims' families that they talk about. They're not even doing anything for grassroots organizations. It's basically was just a money grab, you know, where they using Black Death to raise all these funds, and then you look up a year or two later, 3 years later, and don't nobody know where the money went. But and you know, nice cars and luxury items, big vacations and whatnot. So it's looking like Black Lives Matter was a big finesse on the black community. You know, it was liberal control. They saying George Soros donated a lot of money to Black Lives Matter and whatnot. So, you know, it's starting to look like the fraud that, you know, people always suspected it was. But, yeah, they calling for an investigation into, you know, that particular organization based on this woman buying these high-end homes, you know, totaling $3.2 million. You dig? So I don't know if y'all heard about that, but, you know, y'all can respond or we can hit the call line.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that. Who are they for? She bought three of them. She's one person. Are they in different states?
Yeah, they're in different states. I think one was in California. One was in New York. I think she had one outside the United States in Nassau Luxury Condos. But, yeah, they were just all over the place,
well,
all over. You know, Malibu.
I'm sure for tax purposes they'll be for business expenses or something. Maybe she do business in those areas. I'm only saying that because she might be able to get away with it, depending on how the records are being kept and how she delegated the spending and all that and structured the business part of it. She may be able to get away with it. Now, is this young lady, is she white or black? Because I thought they were white,
this particular co-founder is black.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking about she bought these homes. Patrice Khan Coors, I think is how you say her name. She is black. She's a black woman.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Hey, now I still wanted to get Roger's take. You didn't give us your answer. I mean, can't everybody answer the question you said?
Well, I was trying. I realized my phone was on mute. I understood you guys had to move on to this next topic. But as far as I'm concerned, I think that it could be that way. You know, I think you can be married. I think you can be married or in a relationship with another race and still be down for the cause. As long as you don't, at the end of the day, you just got to make sure you don't allow yourself to be compromised and don't go outside of, you know, what's right. So as long as you don't get attached to anything, you know, I don't preach attachments anyway. So because at any time people may have to outgrow circumstances, people, places, environments, so you have to be have a flexible mentality where, you know, if something's not working, in other words, if in this case, if you're being compromised because of your relationship, you may have to leave, and that's one thing. But as long as the relationship is not compromising your values and your truth and it's still allowing you to do things and be 100% expressive to your true self, then, you know, I don't see a problem with it. I think it can work.
Right. Amen. Amen for all the humanitarians out there.
Shout out to the humanitarians.
Yeah. All the humanitarians, you come together.
Thanks.
Was that Brother Kay trying to say something? Sorry, because I saw what was going on with your phone, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's get to the call line. I don't know. Sometimes somebody's phone can act up and their phone may drop and then they just have to call back in, you know, to do it. You know, let's give a shout out to Second Chances. You know, Let's give a shout out to a second. Ain't nothing wrong with a second chance, people. I would just like to say that, throw that out there. As we wait on
second chances. I am confused.
I'm just saying second chances. I think they don't get enough credit. A second chance just don't get the credit that it deserves. It's not, a second chance can be an awesome thing. So
yeah.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well,
like,
I don't know.
You guys,
I don't know. It could be a bad thing too, man. You give a man a second chance who's busting your head. Give him a second chance, he might kill you.
I don't know.
I don't think
that. The problem there is that they don't deserve. Now you got to be wise. Now everything don't deserve a second chance.
All right.
Yeah, I guess that we do got to be clear.
Yeah, be clear.
Okay. You guys want to go to the call lines? You guys have something else to say?
No, we hit the call lines.
Okay.
Call
lines. Area code 31381. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
You know that there's about 2 million more black women than it is black males in the country. That's
right.
That's the largest out of balance of any ethnic group almost in the world.
Really?
The population difference between black males and black females.
Is that by design?
2000,
or do you think it just happened to be that way?
In 2000, it was 1.8 million. And I would say in 2020, it was probably 2 million. So black female can't marry anybody. Just have a hard time trying to find a mate anyway. And to find one that's manly, being that 70% of them are raising these boys and to become these boys and males and to become men, and apparently that's not working out. 30% of your black males with college degrees marry interracially with a bachelor degree.
Interesting.
So
what did you— well, real quick, Kyle, I wanted to ask you that. When you threw them numbers out there about black people, do you think that's by design that those numbers are so different? Or just something
that happens that way? How would you design that on a drawing board? That ain't by design. That's the way it is. It's behavior or culture or whatever you want to call it. Nobody has
I got
to do
some
anything.
Huh? But I'll wait till— I said I got some thoughts on that, but I'll wait till another time because it's going to take a long time.
Well, that's just the way it is today. So I hear then the black male sperm count of all males is the lowest. Is that the
really?
Design?
I don't know. Now, where did that come from?
I mean, ain't nobody putting the gun up and you taking your Johnson out and taking it through a magic wand.
Mm-mm.
So
yeah,
when you put all those
event.
Things together, the future is kind of bleak. I mean, really think about it. The educational attainment. Educational attainment has a lot to do with income. Income has a lot to do with income disparity. Right?
Right.
So the children, the students in school, are performing worse. You know that when it comes down to taking standardized tests, the black student, and this is what they say, is spotted points. The Asian is deducted point. The Hispanic is spotted. I think the black student is spotted like 230 points before they even start taking the test. And then when you do the comparison, they still come out last in scoring, not all, but way too many compared to the other two. I don't know what it is between them and Hispanics, but of course Asians and whites.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
So So it has to be something that needs to be looked at. You guys got, well, St. Louis has a first black female mayor. Nobody
right,
may
right.
have mentioned
shout
that.
Out. Yeah, shout out to Tashira Jones, the first black female mayor. Now, my thing is, that's cool, that's all fine and dandy, but if she the first black female mayor, you know, what policies is she going to put in place for the black people of St. Louis? And, you know, so we're going to have to wait to see how that plays out, but to keep telling, you know, these people are the first black, but what can they do specifically for the black community? You know, and are they running with that Democratic agenda where the Democrats are actually giving more money to immigrants than they are to black people here? And the thing is, when you look around the city of St. Louis, and I'm sure this is the case in a lot of cities, you know, major all the way down to small cities, when you look at the people who own these gas stations and mini marts and liquor stores, there are a lot of foreigners and air people who own these businesses in predominantly black neighborhoods. What's up with that? How are these people able to come over here, open up these gas stations, liquor stores, businesses in viable communities, and they're all foreigners? And we don't have no people who live in that community, from that community, that own these businesses. That right there is a travesty, and I really believe that needs to be looked into.
Well,
you know?
it's you're making it sound like it's a conspiracy, but you said that you voted for a woman to be mayor of the city in St. Louis. Then you said we have to wait and see. Well, that's backwards.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't say I voted for.
No, well, I ain't saying you in particular, but I don't know how you voted. But you basically said,
right,
we have to wait and see. And I said, that's backwards. Why would
right,
you
right,
vote
I got
somebody
you.
And wait and see what they're going to do? Black Democrats
right.
have ran the city of St. Louis for 72 years.
Right.
And
I
guess people
that.
Was waiting to see what happened. Well, what does it look like?
Well,
I mean, it's quite obvious.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. It needs some revitalization.
And she's closing the jail on Hall Street. But what are you going to do with all them prisoners?
I mean, most of them are nonviolent anyway, so you can do something with them if you
well,
want
to the victim,
debilitate.
It was violent.
No,
right.
I'm saying for the most part. It depends.
Yeah,
but
if they committed a crime, they still need to go. How do you feel when you don't went out and saved your money to pay for your taxes on your vehicles and got your plates? You driving down the street and you stop at the red light. Boom! Car comes around on the right side and run right on through the stoplight through the intersection. His paper tags is 8 months expired. Next car, zoom! Go right around you. They paper tags is a year expired. At some point in time, you're going to say, well, heck, why in the world did I work and save in order to pay my sales tax on my vehicle and get my license and insurance? And all around me, people don't. So that's a nonviolent offense, right? Until they run into you.
Right, and then that make it violent.
Yes, it makes it violent. Then what happens in the area where you live and traveling? It accumulates that sort of statistics, causing insurance rates to go up, causing the old proverbial red marker to come out and encircle certain areas in the city. More infamously called redlining. Well, you don't want to live
right.
here because
that,
you have a lot of people that cause a lot of accidents. fair and natural.
Right, but they do that anyway. But they do that anyway when a black person moves into a neighborhood, or a black person's house could be getting appraised in a white neighborhood and it's marked down. So they do that anyway based on color. You know,
I don't know no place where they appraise low. They always appraise high, especially when they do drive-by appraisals. They don't appraise low. They appraise high because when you appraise high, what does that do? You got to pay more in taxes. You mean when you go to sell and somebody wants to buy, they're not going to pay you what it was appraised for. That's typical.
No, I'm talking about the house being appraised by the city or the county or whoever comes and do the appraisal. That's what I'm talking about. You haven't heard the stories of black families, you know, leaving their pictures up, and then they get a low appraisal, and then when they
in St. Louis County,
up, they get a high appraisal.
In St. Louis County, they got a equalization board that when you receive your assessment for your home, you are allowed to go contest it. Now, I know for one thing, I talked to an individual.
Right.
And I had to go clean over in Sunset Hills for an assessment. And they have them out there in Northwest Plaza. And they told me that blacks don't show up. They don't come out and contest them when their property rates go up. They not to no great numbers.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so.
All right.
They voted for a person. They celebrating. But what did they ask, tell the people that you wanted, the person that you wanted to have done? Or was it just voting for emotions and some buzzwords like Black Lives Matter, police brutality, so on.
Right.
Now, I'm going to say this and I'm going to get off here. Look at the data and statistics the way things are come Monday. Income, crime, school attainment. Then come back in 4 years and see what it looked like. I'm simply to say that very little or nothing is going to change whatsoever, because the people that you need to make it change ain't coming there. For obvious reasons. Mm. One, you can't sell the empty pockets. All right.
Interesting. Right on, Colin.
I didn't say nothing about George Floyd, neither.
Yeah. Right on. He kept his guns
in the holster today.
Yeah, we ain't gonna get into that. How's that trial going? Y'all been watching that this week? This is week two of the trial.
Yeah, I've been watching. Not as much. I had kind of a full week, so I didn't get a chance to tune in as long, but I still tuned in every day. But my goal was to watch it every day from the beginning to the end of it. But I've been kind of missing out on some of the things. But it's still going pretty interesting. What I have been catching, it's still pretty interesting. It's still so sickening to me to watch this and just. I mean, we know what we saw, and to see this man with this white privilege mentality to go into this courtroom and ask to be let off or found not guilty to killing somebody that we saw him kill. He don't even have the guts enough to go in there as a man and say, yeah, I did it, you know. I didn't mean to. He ain't even saying it was an accident. He just like we just some fools. We didn't see him put his knee on this man's neck for 9 minutes. We didn't see none of that. He just like, I didn't do it. I mean, it's like, that's ridiculous. I think that is such an insult for him to walk up in that courtroom and ask the people and the judge and the jury to let him off and find him not guilty of something that we clearly see that he didn't do. And not saying I did it. He said I didn't do it. That's like, that is ridiculous. And so that is, I mean, like, who do you think you are that you can do this to somebody and go in there and say, hey, I didn't do it. Let me off. Because he was a bad person. Not because he don't want to take any fault or blame. He's not taking no fault or no blame of any of this. He plays no part. He like, I didn't do it. This man had a big heart. He was on drugs. I didn't do it. And I think that's just the biggest insult. And the mentality of that alone, just to go and ask to not be proven guilty of it, is just, it's crazy to me.
Hey, but, I tell you, yeah. You innocent till proven guilty.
Sometimes. Depends. And we know that. Because that rule don't apply to everybody. And we've seen that throughout history.
All right. You got to add a complexion for the protection, as they say. yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, man. I ain't even really giving this too much hype because I think he gonna get a slap on the wrist, if not get totally let off. So that's kind of what I'm expecting. I think they want the whole protest to kick up again just in time for the summer. Let's get folks back in the streets. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what I'm looking out for. You know, so we'll see how it play out. We'll see.
Okay, let's go.
But let's hit the call line, family. This is Collective Minds Radio. We're about to hit the call line.
Area code 319-572. You on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment, speak your piece, caller. Keep it clean.
Okay, I'm going to keep it clean. Yeah, I just wanted to point out the Black Lives Matter. I told you guys that they were on bogus from the get-go. Did you know that they only gave Eric Brown's dad only $500 after they made all that money off his son's name and pretty much blew off everybody else that they made money on their name? And now look at them. They're paying fire on these nice fancy cars, these fancy houses, and they're supposed to be so pro-black. Why did they move into a white neighborhood to support a white community, white school? But they're supposed to be so pro-black.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because whatever they pay for that home in those three states, they could have combined that into or split up into the most derelict neighborhoods and rebuilt in those areas.
And another thing, did you hear about New York trying to give these illegal immigrants about $15,000? Did you hear about that one?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. The Democrats are trying to give illegal immigrants money.
So all these other people coming out equal opportunity, and they're getting all the benefits while we're getting blown over. And then we got our own people taking advantage of it. I was listening to Austin Tatum a little bit ago. And he was saying something about Black Lives Matter, how they doing all these big purchases, but he raised over $200,000 for him and his viewers for the little black girl that got killed, and Black Lives Matter just don't care because it's black on black. That's all I really was going to say. You can go ahead and get to the next call. I wasn't going to take up too much time tonight.
All right. Yes, indeed. Appreciate you, Carlos.
Yep.
Yes, indeed. Good night. Peace. You know, Black Lives Matter just capitalized off black and lives. You know, the black man walking around ain't got nothing for you. The family.
I don't know what's going on with the call. Okay. Mufasa, you there? Brother Cam?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Get to a call.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I hear you.
Can you hear me? Hello? Okay,
yeah, now it's like there was interference.
Oh,
yeah,
okay, got you.
Okay, area code 315-767. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Hey, fam, how y'all doing?
And don't be scared.
Hey.
All right, peace.
Yeah.
Peace, caller.
I'm listening to y'all in Chicago today.
For sure.
Yeah, I got a few words about some things that happened over my week. So I got the opportunity to get into my hometown and put my father's ashes into the ground. My father left St. Louis. Yeah, my father left St. Louis back in the 50s because he saw the direction shit was going there. It wasn't doing good. So he went to where he could actually get a job and have a life if he just knew that if he stayed down there in them neighborhoods off of Laberty and whatnot, he was either going to end up in prison or get killed. So he went up north and got himself some work. And he lived there for the rest of his entire life. When we put him in the ground on Friday, we had a little gathering. Now, my father was black. But the only black people that was at his burial was his children, his wife, his wife's friend, and my brother's friend who put together the food and the little after get-together thing at a pavilion in the park down the way a little bit. Everybody else, the other dozen or so people that showed up, were white people. None of the black people that my father knew that were still alive made their way out to see him get put in the ground, even though they had months notice. But these old white people did. In the community that he's been living in this whole time, as racist as Iowa is, as racist as that area that was when I was growing up, it was white folks that came and paid their respects and said that they
right,
really lost something when my father died.
And that's how I want to ask you, caller. So for you, for that experience, what did you sum up from that full experience? Like, what did that make you, give you, a certain viewpoint, a different way of thinking or anything like that? Or how does that make you feel?
It makes me angry is what it does. It makes me angry because my father raised me, and the relationship that I had with the white side of my family makes it very hard for me to like white people. I don't like white people for the most part. I just never, it's just a natural instinct into me to shy away from or think the worst of white people when I see them. But to know that in the end, after all the things that my father said about white people while he was raising me, those were the only people that came out to respect, you know, that respected him. Everybody else that I knew, all the black people that I knew that was around him, it seems like they were only ever around when they needed something or wanted something. And then when it came down to watching them get placed in the ground and say goodbyes, they didn't want to expend the energy to come do that. But all these white people did.
And guys, yeah, I didn't hear nothing. Okay.
And that frustrates me. That really frustrates me how we want to be pro-black, black and be black, but we ain't even pro-black at all with our own self. We're just not. We are just not.
Mm.
We can do all this talking and say all this stuff and talk about how bad the white people are, but the white people's always helped my father.
Right,
and it wasn't
right,
out of
right.
And it wasn't out of, well, we just got to help a black guy. No, they respected my father for who he was because he was honest, he was earnest, and he was a good man, no matter what color his skin was. And he approached people that way, too. He didn't approach white people and just say, you're bad. He approached white people to feel them out first, and if they were worth sticking around, he stuck around them. If they weren't, then he didn't. And those were the people that came out to see him placed in the ground. Those are the ones that were supporting his black wife while she was going through her loss.
You know, I got to say, I shared a similar experience with an uncle that passed a couple of years ago. He relocated from St. Louis to, what was that, Arkansas, Roger?
Yeah.
And we went to his funeral, and we were the only black people at that funeral also. Now, y'all know the type of person I am. It was strange to me to get there to this town, and all these white people be so welcoming. And they was like, you know, they was inviting us into their homes. They was trying to feed us. You know, like I say, it was, I could count on one hand the black people that was at this funeral, and the funeral was packed. And I was like, man, I didn't even really want to go back to St. Louis. I'm like, dang, these people here, they're like, they're so nice.
Not to mention you and found
and
some.
Y'all know I'm a blackity-black type of person, so y'all know the type of person I am.
Not to mention you found a little place where you can hang out, too. You remember?
I brought this up because earlier in y'all's conversation, you were talking about be black, you can't be conformed, you can't be associated with the enemy. But the white people aren't our enemy. Asian people aren't our enemy. Hispanic people aren't our enemy. The enemy is just anybody that doesn't have your well-being or wants to obstruct you from living your best life. That's who your enemy, no matter what color they are. And your ally can come in any color just the same way. Now, you got to get past that if you want to move forward. If you want to just, you know, shunt yourself in a corner and say, everybody that ain't black is out to get me, well, then that's just you cutting off, you know, resources. That's you cutting off, I can't think of the word, but, you know, options and paths that you could be going down. You're cutting off your own
right,
toes.
Right.
You're chopping off your own limbs. You're just as bad as what you would call those racist people.
It is what it is.
And
well,
I got one more thing, because it's DMX, you know, yeah. DMX died. Now, he's got one quote that I really, really, really like. You know, so I want to say it. And it's almost like a riddle now. You can put it into a riddle. What's worse than the Ku Klux Klan? And I'll put it out to you, your neighborhood drug dealer. Because the Ku Klux Klan ain't bothering y'all, but them neighborhood drug dealers is killing you and your community. And they are
right.
The same.
Well, they get the drugs from the Klan, but they get the drugs from the Klan.
You can't say that because you don't know. They get the drugs where they get them from.
Yeah, man.
But they're the
right.
ones
that's
them into, but they're the ones putting
the
them into your. They're the ones putting them into your hands.
Yeah, man. I agree with that also. Like. That's because they, you know, the Klan could give me a kilo of cocaine, but I ain't got to sell it.
You could take it right to the police and say, so-and-so gave this to me, and get them put in jail.
Right, but we got to be realistic, though.
That's right. They're worse.
We got to be realistic.
Families, the people that are destroying your neighborhoods are worse.
So, yeah, let's be all the way realistic.
Now, if we're all the way realistic, they cannot be worse than the people who created the situation for them to do that type of activity. Anything
okay,
that a black
so
person does under this system is orchestrated by white supremacists, a.k.a. KKK, a.k.a. your government officials, CIA,
okay,
FBI, on down.
On a humanity
so,
level, on a humanity level, listen, on a humanity level, who's
right.
worse? A man that goes out and kills another man, or a mother who kills her children?
I mean, that's a weird question, but on a humanity level,
no,
I would
not.
Say the mother who kills her children.
Because the mother is supposed to love their children. So how can
right.
somebody like that kill their children when a man just kills another man because that's what men do? But when a mother kills her children, so that's a drug dealer destroying its neighborhood. Whereas the Ku Klux Klan,
right.
if they're the ones supposedly giving the drugs, they're just a man killing another man. Because they are not intimately in with these people that they're destroying. You got to not have a soul to destroy your own family, to destroy your own community. That's worse than somebody just saying, hey, I got to kill this guy to kill this guy.
No, I disagree. Because
so you don't
the very
that somebody that can love somebody and turn around and kill them the next moment for a dollar is worse than somebody that's killed somebody to kill somebody.
No, no, no. What you said, I'm talking about when you asked the question, which is worse, a mother killing her son or a man killing another man, I think it's worse for a mother to kill her son.
And that's what the drug dealers are doing to the community, because the drug dealers are a part of the community. They're a part of the people that they're poisoning.
Right, so what I'm saying is...
You've got to be a little bit different, a little bit off, to not care about your people. And then talk about the Klan hurting them.
Well, here's the thing, because we talked about this before. We know the destructive nature of drugs. However, drugs is a supply and demand business. The drug dealer
doesn't... Okay, you know what? This is not going
to
go anywhere
right
now. I can understand that we are going to have to agree to disagree. So that you can get another call
right.
on. We'll let the audience determine what they, you know, come up with what they think about it.
Right. Yes, indeed. Appreciate
all right.
it.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. Y'all take
all right.
care.
Yep. Appreciate it. Peace, peace. Yeah, fam. So this is Collective Minds Radio. We're here within the last half hour. You know, we've been talking about everything from DMX to pro-black and date outside your race. For the record, like, because I don't be viewing everything as the races as the end and whatnot. I do understand that we live in a world where this is a competition and we are somewhat divided by race, even though we know, you know, all skin folk ain't kin folk or whatnot. But we do live in a system where we are generalized and divided by race. Somebody getting out the car, getting in the car, or something in the background.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know. But we are, you know what I'm saying? We are divided by race to a certain degree, and it's very general. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of black people get confused. Based on the history of how white people have treated us, we get confused when a white person is nice to us or a white person does a nice gesture, you know, invites us in their house and be super nice. That happens, but we cannot get confused of the totality of the system. And one thing about white people, they're never confused about the team that they play for. You know, for the most part, and again, I'm generalizing because that's what race is. It generalizes. But white people are never confused about their position in society as it relates to black people and as it relates to any other person that's not white. But when black people get confused, if a white person sleeps with us, have sex with us, they're nice, we get confused and be like, oh, ain't no racism. These white people nice. You know, they hooked us up. They did this and that, but we're not understanding the totality of the whole system and how it operates. You see what I'm saying? And there's always a level and a dominance hierarchy of who's on top and who's on bottom. And white people never get that confused, and a lot of black people get that confused when they see white people doing, you know, simple gestures and being nice. So that's kind of how I view that whole situation of what the caller was talking about. You know, that's just some white people doing nice gestures and being nice because they understand the art of war, to defeat your enemy without tipping your enemy off. You can defeat your enemy without it ever having to come to a fight. You can, like they say, you can kill them with kindness, so to speak, and still, on the other end, practice racism. So for me, as a black person, I never get confused. You know what I'm saying? White people can be cool as hell. They can be super cool, but I never get that confused about what team they play for and what team I play for. That's just me. But I digress. If y'all want to.
You know, we went around on this before in the past. You know, we done had some epic battles about this. You know, me, I'm the one that'll say other groups of people can't. Yeah, people can be nice. This is true. like I said, on that trip that I saw with my uncle's funeral, the white people were very nice. You know what I'm saying? I don't sit up and say that they can't be nice and but that they all racist. I won't be the one to say that. But I do say that I'm the type that wants to see black people do better than what they, you know, have a better living situation than they have. I want to see black people be able to have just as much as any other race do. Because, you know, the saying is true still wherever you go. Wherever you look at on the planet, the darker people always live worse than the lighter people do. The lighter people are always on the top. There's nowhere you can look at on the planet where the dark people are the ruling class on top and the lighter people are on the bottom. I ain't seen that exist anywhere. So I right. still want to see melanated people, you know, advance to be better. That's me saying it in a nice way.
I agree. And you know, I think we are doing better on a lot of levels. You know, and we moving in the right direction. I think as a whole, I think the media does, you know, portray and paint us in a negative light. You know, whatever we do is just always extras put on it, you know. But I think we are, as a people, moving in the right direction. However, we just got to understand, you know, our place in history. We got to get the confidence to understand that at this point we really can't do what we want to do to a certain degree. And as long as we're mindful of history, you know, and we're able to protect anything that we build, you know, I think the sky's the limit. You know, I think the sky's the limit, and we can get that economic game up, because to fight any war or do anything, you're going to need some money. Unfortunately, you know, you're going to need some capital to do any type of movement. You know, revolution, anything is going to take some type of funding. So that's the mindset we need to be in and trying to build, you know, with each other. So, you know, I just want to put that out there. But, yeah, y'all want to hit the call lines or, you know, we coming down to the last 10 minutes here.
Okay, this will have to be the last caller. Sorry about that. But area code 314-616. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question? Make a plan, caller.
You know, I tuned in late. I don't even know what the topic is. I was just kind of listening in. What's going on, guys?
Yeah, what's going on? Peace. We kind of just talked about everything that's on your mind, brother. Anything that's on your mind. We talked about the DMX transition. Black Lives Matter getting caught up. They buy multi-million-dollar homes across the country with the donation money. So we just kind of been talking about everything. George Floyd trial. I mean, not George Floyd, but the cop who shot George. Who choked George Floyd, his trial. So anything you want to talk to, brother, how was your week?
All right, I'll just be real brief. I wanted to get some feedback on the transition of DMX. Like, what does this say for music, hip-hop, New York? I wasn't a huge fan, but I definitely had a lot of respect for him. I listened to his first three albums, you know, and I recognized that he was a masculine male that was in resistance
That's
against
right.
the system. You know, and,
That's
and,
right, yeah.
and I tell people all the time, he's better than 85-80% of your favorite rapper, and he's realer. And had he been willing to play the game, he would still be at the top. It's just that he chose to really walk away. It had nothing to do with the drugs, because a lot of these entertainers are doing drugs. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that, you know, he came with a real message and delivery. So that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I want to know you guys' feedback on what this transition means to hip-hop in New York. I don't need to get into the whole necromancy thing where it's time to celebrate them just the transition, but when you see the
right.
fall of somebody like that, you know, what does that say for the state of hip-hop?
Right, right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Hey,
great
I'll
question.
Say real quick. I was going to say this real quick because I forgot to mention this earlier. Then, Kev, if you want to answer that question. But I'm glad DMX got a chance in these past couple of months to kind of re-bring himself back amongst his fans. He got a chance. He had an interview on Drink Champs, which was a good video.
Right.
And they was giving his flowers while he was still alive. He had a versus with Snoop Dogg that was great. That was fantastic. And they was loving on each other the whole time. So those two videos right there, anybody who is a DMX fan, you definitely should check out the verses he did with Snoop Dogg and his interview with Drink Champs. But as far as the state of hip-hop, hip-hop is dead. Hip-hop is dead, y'all. I'm
going to
make it plain.
Right. Probably the hip-hop we know is dead, but it's still, you know, it's still around in a new form. But in terms of what DMX meant to the culture, like we kind of touched on his earlier caller, but you remember he was coming out at a time where you had Jay-Z popping, you know, you had Nas, you had the Locks and things like that, and he was really the grimy kid. Like we mentioned, he didn't rap about cars, jewelry. He didn't even rap about drugs. He rapped about his pain, what he was going through. He had a couple of songs about, you know, the girls he messed with and whatnot. But I felt like in terms of hip-hop, he was that masculine alpha male, really didn't care, shirt off, bald head, you know, one go rope, dogs, you know what I'm saying, tank top. He was just a real grimy, raw type of rapper who made great songs. You know what I'm saying? He made great songs. And he was out of time with Jay-Z. He put his heart in his music. When Jay-Z was rapping about being a Big Willie, DMX was a total opposite. He was about robbing the Big Willie. You know, he was about a stick-up kid robbing the Big Willie and getting it how he lived. And I think that energy was missed because he was really kind of a continuation, even though he's nothing like Tupac, but that kind of energy, that Tupac energy kind of transferred after Pac made his transition, it transferred into DMX, and he carried the flag and held it down really for the thugs, you know what I'm saying, for the grimy cats, the people who didn't have nobody. And if you understand his backstory and how he grew up without – you know, his mother dropping him off at a group home and him going from, you know, being homeless, moving around, and his dog was his only best friend, and, you know, he really couldn't trust folks. So if you know his backstory, his music lines up with that. And that's all you can ask from an artist. You know what I'm saying? That's all you can ask for, really. And, he was a legend in hip-hop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A legend.
I took from DMX, not everybody wants to be a thug. Sometimes you just get put in a situation where you have to conform to what's around you. You have to adapt to what's around you. And I look at DMX as a person who was doing some things that he had to do to survive. But he was hurting behind it. You heard that in his lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did things he didn't want to do.
Yeah, hurt people, but I think at the end of the day, from what I've seen, and like I say, I was actually a fan, but from what I've seen, you know, as far as interviews, live shows and whatnot, he had a good heart. And like you say, he was really a victim of circumstance, but at the end of the day, his heart was pure, and the brother had a good heart. You know what I'm saying? And most of the damage he did, I think he might have mentioned this in a few, and most of that was to himself. If anything, he wasn't really causing harm to other people. The most of the damage was to DMX. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, the brother had a good heart, and this was big in terms of hip-hop. It did a marker, alpha males, transition.
All right.
It's just a different way. So, you know. Go ahead, brother. Sound like you wanted to get in there.
I didn't hear you, so I would say, well, somebody has to take the microphone.
Really? Have I been going in and out all night?
Oh, I know at that time you was out for me.
Yeah, you'd had a couple of spells on us, brother.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, y'all, because it's looking like I'm it's saying I'm still connected. So I'm thinking I'm still going. So my apologies if my audio isn't working.
To kind of briefly answer the caller's question, for me it's just like one of those things that just it should be a reminder for everybody to appreciate what you have in the moment when you have it in the time, because sometimes when people leave, like what this may do for hip hop, sometimes when people leave, certain things go with them, and we miss out on those experiences. So, you know, that is, for me, I think that's a good reminder for people to just appreciate people, you know, while we have them, you know, because
that's right.
It's never when the last day. It's like the guy that was the Steve, that guy that came up with the Apple computer. When he died, it was some things about the Apple computer information that was just gone with him. You know, until it be rediscovered by someone else, you know, the information is just gone. So when people leave, sometimes, unfortunately, they take things with them that, you know, we continue to maybe try to search for, which, you know, plays a role in how we continue to mourn our loved ones. And when they do leave, too, you know, sometimes it can be hard to let go. But I don't have to go deep into that. I just want to thank everybody for calling in. And tuning in with us this Sunday, and like you do on the other Sundays, we really appreciate you, and thanks for supporting us all this time. Please continue to support us. We'll be back on next Sunday, and each and every Sunday, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Like always, if you have any show topics, ideas that you want to discuss with us or want us to discuss, or just get our opinions, a feedback on it, please send us an email at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on
Collective Minds Radio.
See you next week.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
We talking like we walking. Collective mind.
Out, guys.
Collective mind.
What they thought.